Today, we have a privilege of hearing another testimony. And it was a sweet time, the last testimony that we had from Amy Shackelford, and Ian Gray is going to share today. Before he comes up, be praying about you doing this as well. It does not have to be some fantastic lightning bolt moment. It's fantastic knowing that you came to Christ. I don't want to say that. But it doesn't have to be this, you know, rags to riches, evil to good overnight. It's a blessing to hear what God has done in each one of our lives, and all of us can relate to that. So I'm going to have Ian come on up to, now at this juncture. He's going to do his own introduction, tell you a little bit about himself, and then depending on when he finishes, we'll figure out if we'll take Q&A or questions from him if you'd like, or maybe we'll have a conversation as well. But let me pray for Ian real quick before we start. So let's bow our heads. Great Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together on the Sabbath day. Lord, I pray that you would meet us, that we would worship you, that we would see you in your fullness. Thank you for the preached word this morning. Thank you that you wash our feet, that you meet us, and that you care for us. And may that washing of our feet fill us and to a point where we overflow and go and do your work as a calling out of affection, rather than duty. Lord, I pray over Ian. I pray that you would comfort him, that you would calm him, that you would give him peace. Let him know that this is his story that you have called him to. May we hear the sweet blessings that you give us through his story. And may we be encouraged in how you have encouraged him. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Morning, everybody. When I saw these chairs here, I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys are in for a disappointment. This reminds me of summer school, where you sit in the, I barely graduated high school. I was like, you better go to summer school to get your credits right. And I look across the room. I don't know if you guys barely graduated high school, but they did this. They put you in a guy in the back's laughing. Thank you for that. They put you in a room and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do so you can graduate. That's what this reminds me of. So, all right, I'm Ian. I have a very boring testimony, but it points us to Christ. I'm an emotional guy. I'll probably get all choked up and start crying. And you guys are going to get all awkward. That big guy in the back is going to be like, God, are you serious? I got to listen to this guy crying up here. My kids are like, oh, please don't cry, please don't cry. But when you taste that sweet love of Christ and you reflect on that, you better have some emotions or you're in real trouble. So, okay, maybe it's out of my system. You can only hope it's out of my system. So, I'm out of practice. Oh my goodness, this thing has wheels. Okay, we're going to have wheelchair races after this thing. What is happening here? Man, they don't want you to lean on. I got to travel light. All right, I'm going to travel light. I used to do presentations like this a lot. I'm an architect. I was in the university system for years, and they'd have me do presentations because, really, facilities planning, that stuff's boring. So, like, Ian, come on, let's get the... But I'm out of practice, so this is not going to be eloquent at all. I'm completely out of practice. I'm just glad this room isn't full. So here's the thing. Chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So this is an awkward thing to sit here and give your testimony because I did this and I did that and I almost died and You need to see Christ in this presentation. You've got to see Christ. If you walk away saying, whoo, man, I'm so glad I'm not married to this guy. My wife is right here, Lisa. We've been married for 32 years. We've got 4 kids. My daughter said she was going to be. Where's Jennifer and Rebecca? Oh, she's singing. Oh, and Rebecca's singing too. Oh, so I got to. And the other thing too is it would be completely counterintuitive for me to be up here pointing you guys to Christ and then bloviate in my stories and use artistic liberties. All these stories, There's no artistic liberties necessary. These things all happened. They're true. My wife is here. My kids are here. They can testify to this. So I was born and raised in South Africa. Oh, the other thing I do when I do this, I'm out of practice. Sorry, guys. Show of hands, who here chose their parents? Who here chose their parents? We didn't choose our parents. So when I get to do this, it's God's grace. God's grace. You got to remember that, God's grace. I was born into the church. Dutch reformer. I'm that guy, Dutch reformer. I didn't choose my parents. Dutch reformer, my mom's side of the family are French Huguenots. My dad's side of the family are French Huguenots. My grandmother's French Huguenot. My grandfather's German. So that's part of God's grace. I've got a temper. Man, oh man, I get hot. Especially when the little guy gets hurt. I get hot. Those stories we will not unpack today. Come see me afterwards. That is, I promised him I wouldn't, okay. So born in the church, I remember when my youngest sister would, my dad was older when we got married, when my parents got married. When we got married, he was even older. My dad was older. He's a NASA engineer and was transferred to South Africa during the Apollo program. He was assistant director of this tracking station in Pretoria, South Africa. He requested the transfer because he went there to visit before and fell in love with the country and the people. He said, put me there. That's where he met my wife, my mom, not my wife. My wife wasn't born yet. My mom. I'm out of practice. How much time do I have? Holy smokes. So we're going to wrap up. So, my dad meets my mom. And, you know, so my dad's a bit of a celebrity because he's this NASA engineer and he's running around with, you know, all these who's the guy? Buzz Aldrin. They're buddies. So, you know, you got this. And so my mom's a professional model. And my grandfather's director of medicine in South Africa. And Paul Kruger is the founding president. He's my uncle. So you've got this craziness. My grandfather was a professional rugby player, played for Springboks. And my mom was you see how this is starting to be very self-grandizing? I'm pointing you to Christ. Please. Okay. My mom was the alternate on the South African Olympic team. Overachievers. It's like, go. And so you're running in those circles, and that's how my dad and mom meet. And they get married. Now, they're Christians, but they're not active in their walk with the Lord. But my mom gets convicted by this early in their marriage. I don't know if us kids were around yet. And they're like, nope, we got to walk with the Lord. So we see that. So because my dad was older, my mom was younger, they're 7 years apart. Oh, by the way, they're still with us. My dad's 91. He's elder emeritus in a little ARP church in Florida. Mom and dad are still married. Again, God's grace. God's grace. Show of hands, who chose their parents? Okay, we've been through that part. I'm starting over. So what a life. It was my grandparents' house today is the embassy for Senegal. This is like the coolest life ever. Then we moved to the farm because NASA wanted to transfer my father. But why are we here? Pointing us to Christ. So right before we moved to the farm, I was 5, and we're having our family devotions, and this is the scripture. Whew. Let me see if I can make it through it. Oh, by the way, I'm colorblind, dyslexic, and ADHD. And you guys, I'm here to make you guys feel good about yourselves. So you guys clearly, I set the bar low. They asked me to do this so that anybody after me is like, if Ian can do it, anybody can do this. Okay, all right, let me see if I can get through this. This is heavy. This is heavy. This is how I became a Christian. God's sweet grace. Matthew 18, you guys are never going to ask me to come back. That's the goal. All right, Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who, this is kind of fun too. This is God's, God ordains our steps. Yeah, I'm interrupting myself, but I can't because I have a mic and you guys don't. God's grace is crazy. He's a sense of humor. He has, I'm interrupting myself for the third time. We're never going to get through this. These guys are looking more and more nervous every minute. They're just his foot stapping. Okay. God has a sense of humor. Not because he made me. You guys are going to, because my wife and I got married. That's funny. We are polar opposites. But man, those magnets pull in tight. Tight. So 32 years of marriage, four kids, three of them are married. My son-in-law, Cameron, is sitting here to make sure I stay on track, make sure this stuff is honest and true. Okay, is that the part? Okay, yes, I did. Okay, so we're having our family devotions. Five-year-old kid, I'm five. It's like, wow, this guy knows when he became a Christian. No, it's right before we moved to the farm. I'm not that great of a saint. It's right before we moved to the farm, and we moved when I was five. And we're having this devotion. I'm on my, all the little kids. So I even remember in the Dutch Reformed Church, I remember when my youngest sister was getting baptized. So because my dad, remember this part? I said my dad was older, my mom was younger. So they had four kids, like bang, 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 bang. My brother's 14 months older than me, and then I have a sister, and then Catherine is the youngest. When my brother was four when she was born. So I remember in the Dutch Reformed Church we were at, and it was a lot like PCPC, really just reverent, reverent worship, reverent worship. That's why we're here, reverent worship. 6 days, we can be crazy, but when we come to worship, it needs to look different. It needs to look different. I'll get to that piece. I DJed Christian radio, and I had the heavy metal hour. I was going to do an intro. I told Pete I'm going to do an intro with the heavy metal Christian music. My wife's like, please don't. So she wins. You guys can thank her later. So I'm still into heavy metal Christian music. Demon Hunter, look it up. I got a headband. Demon Hunter, look at you young strapping looking dude in the back there smiling. Because it's like, this guy's an idiot. Look it up, Demon Hunter. They point you to Christ. If you forgot where I started, I'm pointing you to Christ. That's why we're up here. Okay. So, you guys are never going to have me back up here, are you? This is it. I hope this is not an interview. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Back to the word. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child. Oh yeah, I talked about being dyslexic. Reading is a problem for me. I practiced this and look, I'm already stumbling. Calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, goodness. Focus. Unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm five. I stopped my mom. I'm like, Mom, if I don't ask Jesus in my heart now, I never will. Now there's some deep theology. There's some deep theology there if you think about it. So at five, I'm like, I called Jesus into my heart. No, the Holy Spirit came into my heart. I didn't call him. I came in kicking and screaming. Our favorite pastor in Georgia. For those of us in Christ, I'm a purist. I apologize in advance. We came kicking and screaming. Christ called us unto himself. We didn't wake up one day and say we need Jesus. We came kicking and screaming. For all of you guys who are in Christ, we came kicking and screaming. It's the Holy Spirit that softened our heart. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. dead. Christ awakened us. Okay, so my mom leads me through the sinner's prayer, and that still small voice, boom, that piece of Christ, I'm like, whoa, this is real. Flooded over me. I'm a little 5-year-old kid. I wasn't expecting that. All right, so that's at 5. So we moved to the farm. Every boy and girl should grow up on a farm in South Africa. NASA wraps up during the Apollo program, Apollo 13. You guys all know the stories. That wraps up. They want to transfer my dad out of South Africa. But it was to a military outpost where Ascension Island, if you guys don't know, it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It was a military outpost. It's a secret base. Not anymore. I just brought it up. No, things change. It's now you can have families there, but you couldn't have family there. So he resigned and was building homes for a while, but he's a NASA engineer. He is not a people person. I'm just like my father. So he went farming. He's a farm boy from Illinois. So we bought a farm in the middle of nowhere, a town called Korblersdal. It's an hour and a half north and east. North and east, yeah, of Pretoria. And it's truly the breadbasket of South Africa. It's gorgeous. Oh, by the way, I have a PowerPoint. I have no notes, so you guys are in real trouble. I have no notes. I have a PowerPoint, but it's so self-aggrandizing to have a PowerPoint. Hey, this is what I did. No. And I facilitated the men's fellowship group at Redeemer in McKinney for about 10 years. And we would do this stuff, and I would make them suffer through the PowerPoint. So you guys can go thank them. So why are we here? Why are we at PCPC? Because God ordains our steps. That's the short version. Our kids started worshiping here, and we're like, what are they up to at Park Cities? This place is too big. You can't have an intimate... Yes, you can. This place is awesome. Oh, wait. Do we have visitors today? Visitors? First-timers? First-timer back there. This is not a normal class. You can come back. This is not normal. Not even close. Pete is polished and points you to Christ. I'm not polished. I'm hoping to point you to Christ. Okay. I meant to start with that. I'm back to the beginning now. Okay, Christ at 5. Okay, so we moved to the farm, and oh my goodness. Let's see what time it is. Great day. It's already 11:30. Okay, maybe I'll skip some of the crazy stories. I do have to tell you one story. Okay, two stories. One story... a reminder of Christ's, another story, a reminder, you gotta read the room, see if people are still actually interested. I see one person on the phone over there. Okay, maybe they're taking notes, okay. All right, I think we're good. In the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, we had these annual picnics, these annual festivals. And we have one of these things, and it's awesome. It's perfect. It's just everything you can imagine. It's the food, it's the games, it's everything. And I'm a kid, so probably, we moved here when I was 11. By the way, I don't have an accent because I spoke Afrikaans. I didn't speak English. I learned English. I had to do eighth grade twice because I couldn't. English is a terrible language to learn. Terrible language to learn. So I did eighth grade twice, partially because I couldn't sit still. So my parents stopped speaking Afrikaans in the house so we could learn. So I learned American English. That's why I sound like this. So it's your fault. Okay. So we moved here when I was 11. So I think I was 8 or 9 years old, and we're at this festival, this church festival. And you have a little tent. It's funny they're doing this. They did this for me. The little tent like this where you watch kids' movies. And this is back in the 70s, so it's an old black and white reel-to-reel movie, and it's The Tortoise and the Hare. And all my little friends are in there, and my brother gets in, and I don't get in. It was full. And it's not a big deal. It's a church fair. It's not a big deal. But it was around dusk, and that's when they start playing the movie so you can see, because you're in this little canvas tent, you know, and I was devastated. It's like, I wanted to be with my friends. So I'm wandering the facilities. It's outside, it's gorgeous. We lived in a gorgeous area. It's all these parks and just picture just this gorgeous, and it's dusk, and I'm by my, and it's, I don't care about the dark, that stuff, I don't, but I wanted to be with my friends. And so I was sad. And the still small voice said, I'm with you. So, Ian, that's a silly story. Why are you getting so emotional? Because 2 years ago, we were going through hell. As a family, going through hell. I'm in bed, wide awake. I'm 57. That same still voice. Ian, I'm with you. It's gonna be okay. People, Christ will never leave you or forsake you. That's why I get emotional. I don't deserve Christ. I'm a sinner saved by grace, dead in my trespasses and sins. We've all been there. Those quiet days, when you have those quiet moments and you're like, what is going on? Christ will never leave you or forsake you. That's what the goofy stories, I got a lot of goofy stories. If they're fine, we can talk about it afterwards. Remember, Christ will never leave you or forsake you. So at 10, 8 or 8 or 9, that still small voice said, it's okay, I'm with you. I know it was silly. I know it's silly. The tortoise and the hare, black and white, reel to reel, the nostalgia. Yeah, great. Well, silly story, but Christ is real. And then, you know, and then you have your journey. I was a crazy, crazy kid. You're getting a little picture of it now. I've calmed down. I've calmed down a lot. I had prostate cancer 4 or 5 years ago. Came back. Had to go through radiation. That'll calm you down. You guys are getting the calm version. The crazy version, it's crazy. I had a 300ZX. You cannot set cruise control at 158 miles an hour. Why? Don't try that in the back. You cannot set, I don't know why. I don't know what to, okay. But it wasn't because I was crazy. It's because when you walk with Christ your whole life and you taste his sweetness, you don't have this anxiety. I'm emotional, but I don't, you can see an emotional guy. Don't see an anxious guy. Whatever you do up here, don't see an anxious, I'm not, you don't, much to my wife's chagrin, maybe she would hope I'm anxious, as here we are in Texas. How the heck did we get here? So when you have that peace of Christ, when I was in college, I was crazy because you're at peace. You're at peace. I would be invited to parties and I'm doing me, and they're like, hey man, can I have some of what you have? I'm like, all I got's Jesus. It's like, you're not on drugs? I'm like, man, I've never touched drugs. Are you kidding me? You want me to, what? I'm like this now. You don't want to try drugs? It's not going to end well. So I've never done any of that stuff. I'm telling you, I've lived a boring life. But Christ is faithful. Let me be clear. As I'm up here at 57, I am not faithful. Christ is faithful. So let me paint this picture to point you to Christ. We're doing pretty good. Let me point you to Christ. Grandmother is French Huguenot. We touched on that, but it bears repeating. Paul Kruger, the founding president, is my uncle. We've got the family crest on my mom's side. We've got a family crest on my parents' side. Both have crowns in them. And you, if you have a crown in your crest, you're not, the king doesn't approve it, it's execution, because it's a forgery. It's a forgery, unless the king approves it. So on the French Huguenot side, we had the king's crown in our crest, because during the Crusades, we were excellent at killing Muslims. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. But that's the French Huguenot side. On the British side, Grey, Lady Jane Grey is my aunt. So we've got four lords. Remember, anybody here choose your parents? Let's point you back to that. None of us chose our parents. There is Lord Henry Grey is Lady Jane Grey's father, and there's three other lords. And compliments of Lady Jane Grey, we can really point back our lineage for millennia. My wife, on the other hand, we're not even sure what her father's... this is her father's testimony. What the family name is. So what's the difference between my salvation and my wife's salvation? Nothing. 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 My pedigree is not going to save me. Dr. Tony Evans has a hilarious line. You may be born in the church. Your mother and father may have raised you in the church. But if you don't know Jesus, you could die in the church and wake up in hell. It's accurate. My pedigree is not saving me. But man, when I was young, that was such an arrogant... this is church. I was such an arrogant fill in the blank. Man, I was arrogant about my salvation. My wife and I were reflecting on the last 2 years. And I think we've been through what we've been through because of our arrogance in our salvation. You better be careful. I didn't save me. It doesn't matter what my pedigree is. It's cool. I got stories. You guys want more stories? I got time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how low you started. It doesn't matter how high you started. If you don't have Christ, you got nothing. So here we are. By the grace of God, here we are. So that's the short version. I'm 57. I can give you the long version. You guys probably don't want that. I got some funny stories. I can give you some more funny stories. But I think that is it. That's 20 minutes before 12. I can keep going. Believe me, I can keep going. Any questions? You're telling me to sit down?
I learned a lot in the last 2 years. Pull that apart a little bit. The humility.
Ooh.
What has God taught you?
Ooh. Okay.
What spiritual lessons did you learn through that?
Okay, that's good. That's very intuitive. Thank you for that question. The question was, okay, great. In the 2 years, last 2 years, what have you learned? What have you learned about God's grace? Well, His grace is sufficient for you. I'm with Job. I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen to that. That's about where my... my comparison with Job stops there. That dude was one patient dude. I am not a patient dude. That dude is patient. I don't know how patient, he spent an entire, okay. We can debate how patient Job was, but whatever he was more patient than me. So our youngest daughter's wayward, profoundly sexually promiscuous, profoundly. Navin, my wife is shaking her head, no, don't go there. In wrestling with that, as a loving father, that's tough. That's tough. She accused the boy of rape. We got the law involved. Well, she accused the boy of rape four different times, four different guys. At some point, there's a common denominator here. This was not an easy journey. You don't want to hear as a father your daughter was raped. You don't want to hear from your youth leader 7 years prior to all this that your daughter is profoundly promiscuous we need an intervention. You don't want to hear that as a father growing up the way I grew up. God's grace. He ordains our steps. You guys are not here by accident. For those of you who walked in late in choir, this whole side was full. I managed to get them to leave. They have walked out. I'm kidding. So that's the lesson learned. In those moments, I was frustrated and angry. But what did I do in those moments? I'm like, I got this, Lord. I've given up. I'm taking matters into my own hands. How'd that go for you? It didn't. We're in the witness protection. I'm kidding. In the tough times. You guys sitting back, some two good-looking dudes sitting back there. They've been laughing at me the whole time. It's like, man, I hope I'm never like that guy. That's cool. That's okay. It's not a problem. I don't blame you. I got to live with me. My wife has to live with me. You guys going to commiserate with her later. You're going to have tough times. You think when you grow up and your kids grow up, it's like, okay, I can coast. Seriously. All right, we got the kids married. They've all graduated college. This is easy street. I'm not that naive to think it was easy street. But you do think, okay, we did the heavy lifting. We were faithful in our parenting. You know, our children are not our children. Who here has children? Who here has children? Children. I'm glad the two dudes in the back that I keep referencing, I'm really glad you didn't raise your hands because you guys, because they're not. Then we have to have an intervention. Okay. Well, your children will humble you, number one. Number two, it's a gift from the Lord. Our psalmist reminds us, children are a blessing of the Lord. Didn't say all your children are blessed. Sorry. So we are stewards as parents. We are stewards over our children. What does that look like? I started walking with the Lord when I was 5. Who much is given, much is expected. Ooh. I get before my maker. I love the evangelism explosion questions. I gotta step back to the DJing days. Let's step back to the DJing days. So that was during my young adult days. My wife was not in my life refining me. The Holy Spirit put my wife in my life. It's like, man, I give up. I need to give Lisa. It's like, this guy's an idiot. He is the slowest learner I have ever made. It's a true story. So I'm DJing, and I'm DJing this heavy metal stuff. And the reason is we moved to America, and we lived a sheltered life. Growing up in South Africa like we did in the era that we grew up in, my dad listened to light jazz. We got light jazz, and you don't get it too loud because it's the devil. So we got light jazz. That's it. Come to America, and the first band I hear played at school is Boston. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Then AC/DC. I'm like, Mom. And my mom's like, intervention. So there was a Christian bookstore, again, in God's, like, how are we doing here? 11:45, we're doing pretty good. Christian bookstore at the end of our neighborhood. And the husband and wife that ran that had kids my age, that because of their connection to Christian music, they're like, oh, Ian, you need to listen to this. Oh, Ian, you need to listen to this. So I really got into it. And then constantly calling the Christian radio station, oh, play this, because they weren't that edgy yet. This heavy metal, we called ourselves Oasis. We whet your appetite for Christian metal. We were Oasis, that cold drink of water. So the DJ wants to meet me. So he brings me in. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I get to go to the radio station. He's like, I'm looking for a replacement. I'm like, whoa, that escalated quickly. He's like, you know your music and you never shut up. You're perfect. So Yeah, you guys gave me a microphone. Awkward. Is this being recorded? Is this?
Yes.
You guys, I'm gonna have the session at my house tomorrow. Okay. So yeah, that goes, and it goes crazy. This whole DJing thing goes crazy. They have me DJ the Christian night skate night because it's like, you know, I was that guy. I was a speed skater, so it was a perfect fit. And so they're like, no, we got to have you back. The biggest crowd, the skating rink is now closed because I'm not there. I'm not DJ. That's not why it's closed. The biggest crowds would come on the Monday night church night skate because it was crazy. This is a madhouse. Anyways, good stuff. So I'm in college. You do the Baptist Student Union thing. And I'm this arrogant reformer, long hair down my back, and playing this heavy metal stuff. There's no, and then hey, I'm not done yet. You can't, dude, you have to use the bathroom? Do you need a hall pass? Okay, was it something I said? Just as long as you're good. He's not stopping. Yeah, anybody else want to try walking out? Okay. they all left. Okay. I'm back. There was a little baby in the back. That baby's never going to sleep. All right. So back to okay, so I'm DJing. So we do these Baptist Student Union things, and by now they're like this Ian Gray guy. And so I would have these Baptist, he's back. Oh, did you spill something? You are the man for coming back. I'm proud of you. So these pastors would come up to me, and they're like, "What are you doing? This is the devil's work. This is the devil's work." I'm like, Is it? Can I tell you a story? One of the concerts I went to, Deliverance. Those people are crazy. You can't hear what they're, you can't understand what they're saying. I go to a Deliverance concert at a bar, and at intermission, they start telling the gospel story. They get beer bottles thrown at them. I remember one full beer bottle. Guys on stage like this, I'm not going to get on stage. I don't even look good out in here. I'm not going to get up there. Beer bottles flying through the air, and the beer's going woo, woo, woo. Lands, hits the guy square in the chest. He's like, just hear me out. You need Jesus. You guys need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. When's the last time we had beer bottles thrown at us for the gospel? Serious question. When's the last time we had beer bottles thrown at us for the gospel? But yet these Baptist Student Union guys are hammering me for Christian rock. And so you don't want to do that to a reformer. We start dead in your trespasses and sins. It's by grace we've been saved. And then he's like, oh my goodness, what have I done? And you'd have a group. You'd have a big group here. And you got them angry German guy pointing you to Christ. What? I've done more damage for the gospel than good. You guys are a testimony to that. So anyway, so those are the DJing days. So I had a point about that. I don't know what it was now.
God's grace.
Yes, God's grace. Thank you. That's my kid. Two of my daughters were bold enough.
I was going to say undiagnosed ADHD.
No, I brought, you missed that part. You were in choir. Yeah, we started there. So yeah, that's my story. I'm a surfer. I was introduced to surfing. And another nugget. I was 20 pounds in 3 months. I weighed 20 pounds in 3 months. Now that's kind of funny because my mom's a doctor. She's a dietitian. She's in pediatric care. She got her doctorate in pediatric care, and here she has a fat baby. Because I was a colicky. I finally got the guy in the coat there laughing. He wasn't laughing before. I got him. Thank you, my job here is done. And so I couldn't walk till I was 2, but I could swim, because my mom, the Olympian, except it was my mom that taught me how to swim, as my grandmother. So I could swim before I could walk. So that's what we do, we take surfing vacations, and the whole family goes with us. We're going to Croatia this year, not to go surfing, but our kids talked us into it. So one more funny story, and then we're done. We'll pray. Oh, but and we can open the floor for... We can open the floor for questions, but before that, one more funny. You're coming up here to cut me off. You're cutting me off. So South Africa safaris, we would go safaris all the time because you're in South Africa. That's what you do. And my grandmother, so my grandfather's director of medicine. He's always working. My dad's doing the NASA thing, and now he's doing the farming thing. So my grandmother would take us on safari. Fantastic stuff. Anybody ever been on a safari? My kids raise it. One guy in the, it's in America or somewhere else? Because in America, it's called a zoo. Where? Oh, legit. This guy's legit. See him afterwards. He'll probably autograph something for you guys. Safari is the coolest thing ever if you're an outdoors person. It is an escape. It's God's creation. You realize how little you are, all the good stuff. So we went with my grandparents, my grandmother, and her aunt, Aunt Sue. My aunt, her sister. And we're on safari, and now this story is not going to be as funny to you as it is to me, so just put up with it. We're on safari, and you can hear a lion roar. A lion is an absolutely majestic animal, and that roar travels for miles. It's bone chilling. It's so cool, so cool. So we're hearing the roaring lions, and we're there with my grandmother and her sister, my aunt, and the lion is getting louder and louder. Now I'm a little kid. And I'm like, I gotta lay really still because I think this thing is in our cabin. I'm deathly, this is way too close. The floor is vibrating. This thing is here. It is in our cabin. Next morning I wake up and my grandma's like, Ian, you look tired. It's like, oh, I did not sleep. I did not sleep well at all. It's like, I heard a lion all night long. She's like, oh no, that's Aunt Sue. She was snoring. I told my cousin that story and he's dying. I'm like, it's cute, but it's not that funny. He's like, no. It wasn't Aunt Sue snoring. It was Oma snoring, and she blamed it on Aunt Sue. True story. So one other thing, and then I'll open the floor for questions. This has followed me my whole life. We moved to America. We start telling these stories, and I would tell our little friends we had antivenom in our fridge. And I'm like, yeah, that's not, we know you're lying. Antivenom, because the snakes we had on the farm were all venomous, like black mambas. We were 45 minutes away from town, and you're dead in 30 minutes with a black mamba. So I should never have led with that. Notice I didn't lead with that here. I closed with that. All right, any questions? Any questions? Nothing is not open for everything. Pete.
I should have asked this question.
I got to be at work on Monday. It was definitely the music.
Okay.
It was, they did not agree with Christian rock. They said that was an oxymoron. And then I would just say, well, listen to the lyrics and look at their actions. So yeah, and probably because of who I am. I mean, it's just like, you guys got a small taste. You got the mellow version. So any other questions?
That bottle of beer that was thrown on the stage, what brand was it?
Oh yeah, it was, good question. It wasn't worth it, it was Bud Light. It's worth, we all should have probably throw like a good beer. My favorite Bible verse? Well, there's a lot, right? There's a lot. Thank you for bringing us back to why we're here. I love, you saw how emotional I got. Matthew 18, man. Faith of a child. Now, there's many verses. Our psalmist constantly remind us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were knit in our mother's womb. Knew you before the foundations of the earth. There's many. But for me, it's like, wait a minute. If I'm not a child, if I wait till I'm adult, I will never ask Christ into my heart, which is, it changed me. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
Do you think God's sovereign?
Do I think that God is sovereign?
Yes.
Great question. I didn't even go there. Yes. God is sovereign. As R.C. Sproul, yes. As R.C. Sproul would say so eloquently, would have. Okay. R.C. Sproul's dead. Okay. You guys know who R.C. Sproul is? Please tell me you guys know who R.C. Sproul. Okay, good. Okay, good, good, good. There is not a rogue molecule on this planet. Not a rogue, because if there is, then God is not God. So thank you for that question. Everything God does is for our good and His glory. Everything. That's the peace. I've got a wonderful friend of mine. He's an Armenian director of architecture for my company. Loves the Lord. He's the deacon for Prestonwood. And I'm like, what peace we have to understand that Christ called us to Himself. I can't screw it up. That's not arrogance. That is grace upon grace. I can't mess it up. That, so yes, everything God does, everything He does, He ordains our steps in everything, including the last 2 years that we've been through. Yes, emphatically, God ordains our steps. He's the creator, we are the created. He's the potter, we are the clay. That is a rough song to sing. Go sing through that hymn. Great question.
There we go. Love the testimony. Ian, thank you. Thank you. A couple things I pulled from this, and I'm going to ponder it, you know, over the week. One is I love this man's passion and his emotion and his love for the Lord. And I think there's definitely something that we can all think about. How does that drive us? The other thing I heard in there was, where is your identity?
Thank you.
Pedigree, you talked about that. Hugely, you talked about, you know, the trials in the last couple of years that God has removed any sense of yourself away. And it's really about our identity in Him. And in this community, there's a lot of identity, you know, in what we do or where we live or what we make or how much we make and what we drive. And it's a false sense of security. And amen. I love that you said God humbled you. And that's because He loves us. He will not leave us in places that are not good for us. And that's true for me, you know, in my story as well. I'm sure you have those moments of the Lord breaking you, right? And I've heard a little more of the backstory in the last couple of years. And I think it's so sweet to hear, even though as hard as those last couple of years were, that the Lord was with you, as you said in multiple stories, and that's enough.
Amen.
Okay. And that's my transition. What's enough? That's part of this book, Seculosity. And it's a term that this author uses that's a non-Christian way of saying what's enough in your life. Okay? Busyness is the first chapter. What's enough? Where do you get your identity from? And there's multiple topics in this book. And this is the world that we swim in, right? And everybody is looking for what's enough in their life. And so thank you for sharing today and really kind of leading us there, and that Christ is enough ultimately, right? And that's where we need to live and commune together and encourage one another. And so be thinking as well about your story, whether you come up and share, you know, in the class or not. You should do the work to think about how God has met you, encouraged you, humbled you, and exalted you for His purposes, not for your own. So think about your story. One of us may come up to you and say, hey, have you thought about sharing some Sunday this summer and into the fall? So again, thank you. I'm going to pray for you and for our class, and then we can be dismissed, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your call. Thank you that you come to us, as Ian said. Even against our own desires, you show us you. You prick our heart. Your Holy Spirit breathes new life into our hearts. And thank you for that in Ian's life. Thank you for calling him as your son. Lord, thank you for calling each of us. Help us to remember that calling. Help us to be thankful for the fullness of Christ, the fullness of grace. May it change our hearts. May we love and live differently because of the work you've done on the cross and your resurrection and your ascension. Thank you that you preside in your kingdom, over your kingdom, sovereignly, as we've been talked about. Be with us this week. Encourage us, teach us, grow us, perfect us, sanctify us in your image. May we be called to be more like you, and may we love like you love. And keep us safe and bring us back together next week. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.